Well, good morning and welcome to Christian Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today, we are a special welcome to you, and we invite you to come and join us for some refreshments and some meet and greet after the service downstairs. In your bulletin today, a number of announcements, a number of things you should take note of. I guess the first thing is that if you show up an hour late or an hour early next Sunday, it's because you didn't put your clock back. I can never remember which way it is, but put your clock back 1 hour next Saturday evening before you go to bed, and we'll all be here at church on time next Sunday. Also in your bulletin are some information about, mark your calendars at the back, Pancake Breakfast. There's a children's music theatre coming up in December. And we're starting a photo directory again this year, so we're going to have some sign-up dates for Sundays in November, or days in November, for families to come and have their photos taken, and Avis is driving that for us. So all those things are in your bulletin, and Operation Christmas Child, and I think Peggy's going to be talking about that during the children's moment this morning. So let us now gather our hearts and our minds now to worship.
Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11 says, "So God lifted him up to the highest place. He gave him the name that is above every name. When the name of Jesus is spoken, everyone's knee will bow to worship him. Every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow to worship him. Everyone's mouth will say that Jesus Christ is Lord, and God the Father will receive the glory." Matthew 24, verses 30 and 31. "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the nations on earth will be sad. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky. He will come with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. They will gather his chosen people from all four directions. They will bring them from one end of the heavens to the other." Thank you, God, for all your many blessings. We are surrounded with your goodness and mercy. If only we have eyes to see, ears to hear, hands to touch, and hearts to recognize them. As you love us beyond what we do, caring for us simply because you created us, we praise you for who you are and what you've done for us, and for what you continue to do for us. Be with us in this hour as we come humbly before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Reading from Psalm 46, verses 1 to 11. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought upon the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of this word. Remind each one of us that you are God, and we need to be still before you. No matter what is going on in the world today, Father, we know you are in control, and we will be still and we will recognize that you are our God and our mighty fortress. Amen. Take up our tithes and our offerings this morning. Father God, again we give you thanks for your many blessings towards us. Receive now from us these, our tithes and our offerings. Bless them, we pray. Multiply them. May we use them wisely for your kingdom work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us still our minds and our hearts. Let us remind ourselves of Psalm 46:10, what we just read. Be still, and know that I am God. Put away the concerns of yesterday and the worries about tomorrow, and let's just be present with our Heavenly Father. So, Heavenly Father, we gather here to bring you praise and worship. We feel your presence by the Holy Spirit. We come before you now with our own prayers, our supplications to you. We thank you for hearing us. We thank you for being present among us by your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for yesterday's looking forward meeting with the unity of thought and discussion that was there, the fresh ideas and new thoughts for how we can be a church that impacts the community. Lord, we pray that you will bless our discussions from yesterday and you will bless our priorities as we try to move forward. Be with us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we have many sick and shut in of our community, Lord, and we lift them up to you, Lord. Particularly this morning, we lift up to you our dear sister Barb, suffering from cancer. Lord, we know that all of our days are in your hands. We know that you know what's going on in all of our bodies. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon Barb, for comfort, for peace. And we pray for the family during this difficult time. Lord, we pray that we will be generous people, willing to make a phone call or drop in and visit Barb. Lord, we pray for our contribution to Operation Christmas Child and our children's enthusiasm for that program each year. Lord, we pray that these gifts that go out from millions of homes in the West every year to children in needier parts of the world. Lord, we pray your blessing as those boxes and gifts go out, that the love of God goes with them, that these children and families that are blessed by these gifts will turn their hearts towards you. Lord, we pray for our congregation and all the congregations of the church in Newmarket. Pray for all the pastors and the preachers this morning. Lord, we pray that your word will go out from the pulpits into the hearts and lives of the hearers. And we pray now, Lord, for our sister Rose, who's bringing your message to us this morning. Lord, may your Holy Spirit be upon her. Bless her and guide her words, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please forgive my voice today. I have a cold and I'm recovering, so it's not a big deal. It's just that I have a very fuzzy feeling in my throat. So I would be needing your help in reading scripture today. So let's turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4. And if someone can read from verses 1 to 7. In your pew Bible, it's on page 248. Anyone can read in a loud voice. Sure. Yeah, I know.
Try to agree as sisters of the Lord, and you too, my faithful partner. I want to help these women, for they
verse 7. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. We come before you, present our hearts and minds to you. Open our hearts and minds to receive what you are about to give us. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable to you. Amen. There was a town in England that has a reputation of being dry. One day, an influential businessman decided to open a bar, or tavern you can call it. When Christians of that town heard this news, they became worried, and they decided to pray. For months, they prayed day and night, sometimes all night prayer meetings. They diligently asked God to intervene. It so happened that when the bar was about to open, lightning struck from the sky and burned the bar down to ground. The bar owner became very upset. He decided to sue the church and the Christians. So what happened that the church hired a lawyer to argue that it is not their fault. They have nothing to do with the burning of the bar. The bar owner, he pushed on and said, no, it is through your prayers, and God heard your prayer, and my bar is burned into ground. The presiding judge, he heard from both sides, and after hearing their long arguments, he decided and said, I don't know how this case will go on, but one thing is sure, that the bar owner had more faith in prayers than Christians. When I was reading this, I was thinking about us, Christians. In the church in Philippi, Paul was experiencing the same thing. Epaphroditus, he came with a gift and a news from Philippi, and he spoke to Paul about what was going on in Philippi. Now, for a moment, I want you all to just go back and imagine yourself in Philippi, in Caesarea, where Paul is in prison. Just imagine that you are there in Caesarea, and Paul is in prison, and Epaphroditus brought these gifts, a big package like the Samaritan box package, with money and gifts in it. And he handed over to Paul. And he says to Paul, Brother Paul, just imagine it that you are there, not in Newmarket, Canada. He says, Brother Paul, I really would like you to know this with a very heavy heart that not all is well in Philippi. There is a big problem in the church. Whom you call your crown of joy. Sisters Euodia and Syntyche are fighting with each other. I'm afraid if they do not reconcile soon, the church will split up. The sheep will be scattered, and we will become the laughing stock among Philippian believers, non-believers. Whenever these precious sisters meet, they attack each other through their words. I sensed jealousy, self-centeredness, insecurity, uncertainty, bitterness, and anger. The church is already worried about the impending oppression and persecution from outside, and this internal conflict is making things worse. We tried to bring them face to face. We conducted anger management seminars, conflict resolution workshops. We even brought Dr. Conflict Resoluter for advice, but he gave up on them too. The church is tired of this situation. We are worried that if something not done soon, there might be a split in the church. We are worried, very worried. We don't know what else to do. Now pay attention to Paul's expressions. His face have changed. A deep concern and sadness can be seen on his face. He put the box with money and gifts on the table and slowly looks at Epaphroditus and said, "My brother, let me ask you something. You mentioned workshops, therapies, conflict resolution seminars, and even doctor. But did you pray? Did you present your request to the Lord?" At that moment, Epaphroditus looks at the ground and responds grudgingly, "No, this one thing we didn't do much." Paul responds with a smile on his face, puts his hand on Epaphroditus' shoulder and says, "Now when you go back to Philippi, tell the church that they must not be worried about anything, but in every situation, and especially this one, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I am sure that He will bring His peace to my beloved church." Now you can come back to Newmarket. Or if you like, you can remain in Caesarea. Can you imagine what it must be like for Paul to hear this news while he was in prison? Paul had very pleasant memories about this church in Philippi. When he planted that church, they were filled with zeal for God. They were always giving generously to support the cause of the gospel. Hearing that the church leaders are at wits' end with each other must have surprised him or even broke his heart. That is why we see that he launches these rapid-fire fashion attacks or exhortations on them. He sees that the Philippian Christians need divine intervention. Nothing is going to work if they do not bring God into it. That's why he pleads to Philippians to go on their knees and bring their petitions to God. He gives the Philippian church the best antidote that they can ever have. And that is all they need. Prayer. Prayer is the only solution for overcoming any kind of anxiety and depression. But how is it relevant to our churches and our culture today in 21st century? I strongly believe that Paul's exhortation is not only for Philippians, but for us too. Take a look around. We are not any different than any churches of the early centuries. There is anxiety, fear, jealousy, anger, bitterness, prejudice, and even fights among Christians, and more so among Christian leaders. Most churches live exactly like the world. It is sometimes hard to tell where the world ends and the church begins. To top that off, our culture frequently reminds us that we live in uncertain times. When you turn on the news, there is always news about job slashing, wars, economy collapsing, shootings in schools and malls, diseases, pandemic, impending dangers because of climate change, global warming, or global cooling. They have no idea what's going on. Most people inside and outside the church live in constant fear of some looming disaster. I visited my family doctor when I was getting medication for cold, and she told me that there are more people on antidepressant in last 2 years than in her 10 years of service combined. Millions of dollars are spent on stress-related researches. Dozens of stress-related medicines are available in the market. Yet we continue to live in deep despair, deep anxiety every day. Now in this situation, Paul's letter to Philippians is a reminder for all of us that we must not become anxious, but overcome our anxiety by prayers. especially in the world we live in today. Just 2 weeks ago, when I was preparing my draft for this sermon, I thought to do a little research among Christians, a survey. So I sent out this survey to 12 Christians I know. And what I find out, and the survey was about what is anxiety, what are you anxious about, and how do you overcome anxiety? What is the best antidote to overcome anxiety? And the questions were asked with three multiple choice answers. What are you anxious about? Declining church, economy and finances, family life and children, or future finances? And what is the best antidote for your anxiety? Proper financial planning, more family time, or prayer? To my surprise, 93.3% of participants, anxiety is related to personal finances, and 88% believes in proper financial planning to overcome this hurdle, this anxiety. Prayer seemed to be the least important antidote for their anxiety. Like I said, this is the research I conducted purely for the purpose of writing this sermon. There are bigger researches, and they came out with the same similar result. Well, it is so sad to see that most Christians have a very shallow prayer life or very shallow understanding of prayer. All these 12 participants are Bible-believing, born-again Christians. Four of them are pastors in a church. What I see that we cannot build a solid relationship with God if we don't have a prayer life, a proper prayer life. On shallow understanding, we cannot come to God and ask Him to do things for us. No one builds a house without digging a foundation. We cannot build a deep relationship with God without being intimately involved with Him in prayers. Above all, praying means doing the will of God, because He reveals His will when we pray. Do you know that what is the most devastating cause of broken relationships in human relationships, in terms of human relationships? It is lack of conversations and communication. It is extremely important to have clear and open lines of communication in every relationship. It might be a husband-wife relationship, a brother-sister relationship, parents-children relationship, or employee-employer relationship. If we do not talk with each other on a daily basis, if we do not spend time to know each other, we will never establish a strong relationship with each other. Excuse me. Now, if it is true for our earthly relationships, imagine how much it is true for our heavenly relationship. Yet God, being gracious and kind, whenever we turn to Him and repent, unlike our earthly relationships, forgives us and takes us in His arms. I'm applying here that prayers can only benefit us. It is for us, not for God. I believe that today we need prayer. We need to take prayer more seriously than any other times in the world. Satan is constantly trying to steal our joy by bearing us under this burdens of anxiety in this world. He enjoys to see that God's children are worried about things that might not even come true. He tries his best to stop us, that we might not bring our supplications and petitions to God, because Satan believes that if we pray, God will definitely answer our prayers. He will definitely intervene. I was reading somewhere about a movie called 40 Million Minutes. And the person writes, in the movie he shows that the average person lives 77 years. That equates to 28,000 days, 670,000 hours, or 40 million minutes. The average person spends 24 minutes a day getting dressed. That equals 13 hours a month, 7 days a year, or 1 year in a lifetime. The average person spends 40 minutes a day on the phone. That factors about 20 hours a month, 10 days a year, or 2 years in a lifetime. And the average person spends 1 hour a day in the bathroom. This amounts to 30 hours a month, 15 days a year, and 3 years in a lifetime. And the average person spends 3 hours a day watching television, which when we divide it in hours and month, it becomes 9 years in a lifetime, just in front of the TV. And the average Christian spends less than 10 minutes a day in prayer. That equates to less than 6 hours a month, 3 days a year, and 7 months in a lifetime. And the average life is 77 years. Out of 77 years, an average person spends 7 months in his or her lifetime in prayers. You know, Satan knows that there is immense power in prayer. And if we cry out to God, He will come to help us. This is why he makes us believe that a little high in the morning and by in the night to God is enough. After all, we are saved by grace, aren't we? My dear brothers and sisters, today I would like to encourage you that it does not matter how small or how insignificant your problems are. Give them to the Lord. Give him priority in your life. Come to him. He wants to help you and fill you up with his power. Bring everything to him. Everything. It doesn't matter what it is. Just bring it to him. Your family, friends, work, finances, everything. Because he cares for you. I'm sure everybody knows about Hudson Taylor, one of the missionaries, first missionaries to China. He founded overseas missionary, Christian Overseas Missionary Group, fellowship. Once he gave an advice to some people who were asking him what to do in times of trouble. He said, "Let us give our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all right into God's hand. And then we have given all over to him. There will be nothing left for us to be troubled about." Well, I have said so much about prayer and praying, so I think it is only appropriate today that we can apply it in our lives. So what I would really like you all to do, that if you can come up with groups of 2 or 3 and pray for each other, just hold hands and pray for each other for 2-3 minutes and give God whatever is in your heart. There is nothing he can do. So maybe we can pray right now. Let us break into groups of 2 or 3. I know it's a Baptist church and we like to sit in our pews, but let's move a little bit. No one prays alone. Everyone hold hands together and pray in groups of 2 or 3. Ask God to break at least one thing today that is bothering you. If you do not know what it is, ask Him to reveal it to you. You do not have to pray out loud. Just give it to the Lord. God is listening. He is here. Amen. So, my brothers and sisters, God wants us to bring everything to Him. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your living word today. We come to you once again and trust that you have heard whatever we presented to you in our prayers. Break all that needs to be broken. Reconcile all that needs to be reconciled. Release all that needs to be released. Give us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So the message is clear. No matter what's going on in your life, big or small, pray. The answer is always prayer. As you go today, go back into your life and into your world, go with prayer. Go knowing God goes with you, He loves you, and we meet with Him in our prayer times. Increase your prayer times. Go in peace. Amen.